okay, that was written for my son Eben. He walked into the room and said, may I listen to my tune? And I said, yeah, it's okay, even if it's not your birthday today. So just by a verbal conversation with my son Eben, as he walked into the room, and he said, I want to listen to my tune. Because at that time I was sitting down listening to Titties, Kev Carmody, Paul Kelly, all the Bull Sisters, all the other musos, and my son Eben walked in and said, can I listen to my tune? So, yeah, I said, yep. And he went and played his tune. As he played his tune, I was sitting there writing his words down. Because he gave me an insight of respect, you know, sort of like, hang on, it's all right for you to play your music, but I'm here too, what about my music? You know? So that's a song about respecting everybody's music, no matter how old, what colour, or what age. Yeah.
That's a good message for a lot of families out there that have the stereo wars all day.
So it's just that my son has taught me to respect the young people's music as well as my own.
Say, may I listen to my tune? It's okay, it's okay.
I remember an interview that a friend of mine did with you. Oh, must have been when the last album came out, so it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about keeping language alive, and that one of the things that you had at home were the words from your culture and your language written absolutely everywhere.
Yes.
How do you see the changes in the young people that you work with over the years, especially with reconciliation becoming a bigger issue in the public eye?
The young people that I come across, they don't want to carry on the family feuds. The young people want to get on with life, but understand the historical values of this land too. And some young people feel that they've missed out on what it's all really all about. So I'm glad that, you know, reconciliation and bringing them home and the awareness of all these things are put up in front of people to come forward, to be approachable and to learn about things that they didn't really know what was happening in this country. I believe that young people, the next generation, have the right to have peaceful in this country.
I was talking to a woman called Audria Kinia Ningali, mm-hmm. who is part of the National Sorry Day Committee,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that inspires me and just overwhelms me basically is that when people like yourself and like Audrey who tell their stories about their lives and what happened to them in the process that it will make a better society. But at the same time, it does make your lives or what's happened to other people in the past public property. I think that that's very brave to be able to do that, to talk about your lives in a public forum. Am I right?
Yeah, that's perfectly right what you're saying. That, when you start talking about your personal life and that you do become a public, your life is in the public eye. Sort of people know about you and your feelings and that. For me, it's no different for me because I suppose I'm used to having people be a part of my life, because when you're a stolen child, everybody's a part of your life and everybody wants to know about you. And for those that already know about me, well, I just wanted to let everybody else know that I also know about me too.
Yeah.
See? So it's not very hard for me to speak freely about my life, you know. Maybe for others it might be hard, but when you're a person who's been taken away at the age of 8 and your life has never been really your life, when others have been responsible for it, telling people where you come from, what you've been doing and things like this, well, today I feel really righteous enough to be able to say, oh, I'm big enough and woman enough to be able to say, yeah, this is me, this is where I come from, this is what I experience, instead of someone else interpreting my life for me.
I think it probably gives a lot of other people courage and strength to face their lives as well.
Yeah. that's what I had to do. I think you have to really sometimes accept things around your life, but still you can heal in the process. Wise Ways to Win was a workshop song, and we was in Hobart, Tasmania at Claremont College, and that morning we did a writing workshop. Archie took off to another class, and I took off to one class, and I ended up in a classroom where the students wanted to write the song. The song Wise Ways to Win came about by just acknowledging a poster that was up on the school wall. The slogan said Wise Ways to Win, so the students took it from there and just wanted to put more words into creating this song. With their wordings and that, got the music around it, and by the end of the morning we had the song down, so we sang it in the classroom. And by lunchtime, the students that wrote that song wanted to sing it at lunchtime to the other students, because we were doing a concert that day in the canteen room. So the students were so confident with their song that they wanted to get up and sing it. And I said, what? You just wrote this? And I said, okay then, if you feel like you want to sing it, sing it. And yeah, it just... that song came out so well, so we sang it that day, the students sang it, and I'm just glad that it ended up on this album, Feeling Good, because their wise little words and their ways of collaborating with the song is very special, and they deserve to have their words on this in the song on this album. Gotta be, watch out for the new writers coming up, because they give me the influence to art too, so. Why Don't You Believe Me? It's just a song, an educational song for those people who don't understand the trueness of respect in Aboriginal culture. Is that when man has respect to stay away from woman's area, that means he has the respect. Just don't go near the woman when she wants her own space. Same with the man. They have certain areas that, they're comfortable in. And it's, or the land may be spiritually connected to them in that area. So that song's about respect for the Aboriginal man and the Aboriginal woman. But it also educates other people that women in this land do not play dead. And it teaches people to respect it. That long, long time ago, only the man played the dead in. It's wrong for to see other people of not Aboriginal playing the ditch or carrying it. Because a lot of people, I've seen around myself, or I've heard that some non-Aboriginal women, they seem to want to grab the didgeridoo. And it's very, they really don't understand that if the Aboriginal woman isn't allowed to touch the didgeridoo, what gives the right for the non-Aboriginal woman? Woman area, no man go. Woman play ditch, no, no, no. I see now, no, we say no more. Oh, won't you believe me? Oh, won't you believe me?
information can get out there further to the general public?
Well, I think it's gotten further to the general public through just with that song there that I've just written for that album. That'll be that's one way. But there's other ways that people in the general public can acknowledge the or learn about the Aboriginal culture by, you know, going out and supporting other Aboriginal musicians when they do shows around, you know. I think that's the only way other people in general can get a grasp of the Aboriginal culture, is to participate by going to events and being part of it. If you're not part of it, you'll never know it.
I am not an Jiddy woman, and I'm proud of who I am. Not a Jiddy woman, native to this traditional land. Get out mother's land. Out mother's land. Out mother's land. I am not a Jiddy woman, and I stand so proud and tall. I remember stories when I was a little girl. In our mother's land, our mother's land.
Napanya.
See ya.
That means see ya.